John, the 8th chapter. John, chapter 8. Of all the places that you would think that you would look, you would go to find freedom, the church and Christianity is not one of them. If the church ever puts a sign outside that says, you know, freedom found here, I understand why the world rolls its eyes and says, of all the places to go for freedom, it's not Christianity. If any place looks like it takes freedom, it would appear to be the church and Christianity. You recognize as a Christian. If you're solidly Christian, there's no doubt about it, you can't say everything that you'd kind of like to say. There are restrictions, compulsions on the outside. And you go, you know, I'm tempted to say that, but I better not. If you're a Christian, you can't spend your money just any way you want to spend it. If you're a Christian, you can't go just anywhere you want to go. If you're a Christian, you can't drink just anything you want to drink. If you're a Christian, and you go through the list of things, and they're pretty long, quite frankly, you get right down to it. On the other hand, there's an individual who's not a Christian who can say, man, I'm free to be myself. I'm free to just be whatever I am. I'm free to experiment. I'm free to try. I'm free to say or go or taste or do or anything else. I'm free. I mean, nobody would go to, you know, Souls Harbor or some homeless shelter and try to pull off a big, you know, financial heist inside there. No, it's incongruous. They don't fit. No one would go to the nursing home and go room by room because I'm going to field a great football team. It's incongruous. You won't find it there. So why would you go to church if you felt like you wanted more freedom? And yet, Jesus makes this wildly absurd claim. In John chapter 8, this is the claim that Jesus makes in verse 31. To the Jews who had believed him, verse 31, John 8. Jesus said, if you hold to my teachings, you are really my disciples, then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Jesus makes this claim, if you want to be free, come to me. I'll set you free. He says it strong enough down in verse 36. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. The dictionary defines freedom as being under no one else's control, as being unencumbered by outside forces. Freedom, released to do as one wishes. Now, I don't care how you look at it, but that definition that we all sort of carry in our head and Webster carries in his does not match up with Jesus saying, come to me to find great freedom. Phil Jackson, I saw a little bio on Phil this last week, just kind of flipping through the channels, and I hung up on it just for a little bit. Phil Jackson, the former coach of the Bulls and the former coach of the Lakers, was raised in a very, very conservative Christian home up in the Dakotas, somewhere in that region. I missed some of the details. But his parents were both preachers. His parents were ministers of a congregation. And so Phil Jackson, as they were given the bio, said he grew up in church. I mean, church was where he was at all the time. But here's what they quoted Phil Jackson as saying. They quoted Phil Jackson as saying, I didn't get one whiff of freedom until I got in the NBA. And I don't ever want to go back to what was there before. Okay? How do you explain that? Oh, it's pretty simple. Let me just describe for you, man. I understand exactly why that could be said. Two men get off work at the same time. One man has a real sense and feels the compulsion of duty and responsibility. I need to go home to my wife and my children. And while he has an inner compulsion that might say, boy, I'd like to go out with the guys because I think they're all headed out together and do whatever it might be. But boy, that sense of duty. And so he gives up his freedom to go home because he's got wife and children and responsibilities. And it's part of his worship to the Lord. It's what he does. and he goes home. On the other hand, another man walks out of the same place, gets in the same car, or gets in a car in the same parking lot, and this guy basically says, I'm not tied down. I can go out and drink with the guys. I can go do whatever I want to do with the guys. We can go play. I got freedom. Christianity, which one are we selling? We're not selling freedom. There are two guys go home at the end of the day. One guy turns his computer on and he types in and goes ahead and puts on it a net nanny. That net nanny controls what sites you can go look at, and it reports what sites you get, and it has a password, and he calls his wife down and he says, sweetheart, I put a net nanny on this thing, and here's the password. I want you to have control of the password. I want you to set the password yourself. I don't even want to know it. And one guy voluntarily restricts what he will, himself will see on his computer. On the other hand, another guy, he sets down his computer, and quite frankly, I'm a big boy, not tied to mama's apron strings. I can do what I want to do. I'm free to go where I want to go. And if I want to look at a site, I'm big enough to look at a site. It won't ruin me or wreck me or tear me up. And if I don't want to look at it, I won't look. So which one's free and which one's the church selling? Last night, two 17-year-old girls went on dates. One 17-year-old girl really does believe she's in love. This is probably the real thing. And there is the normal physical passion of a healthy girl in love, and the opportunity and the circumstance. And she has in the back of her mind this fear that the whole rest of the world walks to this drummer, and if I'm such a prude, I'll lose him. And she has her own passions in the middle of it. But she has this fear she would devastate her parents if they knew that she went ahead sexually. She knows what Jay and Bo and myself and others and people in the congregation have taught. And she fears a little what we, the church, might think. And so she draws a line and restricts her freedom to do certain things last night because of the pressures of the church and her parents. Meanwhile, another 17-year-old girl, similar situation, she feels pretty sophisticated. She feels like she's not shoved in some corner of the world. I can do, my life is my life, my body is my body, I can do what I want. Which one is free? And which one's the church selling? You could run these scenarios as long as you want to. Isn't it true that at times you almost envy the free spirits out there that really are free? And if God just gave you half a day to just go do whatever you want to do, wouldn't you live more freely than you might be living now? So how can Jesus make this rather absurd claim that if you want freedom, come to me? That seems backwards, doesn't it? Until you notice that Jesus does something pretty interesting. Jesus speaks about freedom, but he ties another word to it. And the word that he ties to it is a powerful word. It's a word that he uses twice. I want you to look in this John 8. In John chapter 8, verse 32, verse 31 and 32, Jesus said, if you hold to my teachings, you're really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. He uses the word truth twice. And suddenly in a discussion on freedom, he ties a second concept, truth and freedom. And when you begin to look at the concept of freedom within the light of truth, suddenly the scenarios begin to change. You see, the question of who's really free? Two men get out of the office at the end of a day of work. And one man is so enslaved to his own selfishness that he can't sacrifice even a portion of his own internal compulsion for the sake of his own wife and children. And his own wife and children will be held slaved to his own sense of selfishness. And while he may want a great marriage and he may want a great relationship with his children, he's never able to make the day-to-day momentary decisions that are required to build that kind of relationship. So it's all a pipe dream to him, and he keeps chasing. He talks in in three kinds of terms. But the results he wants on the substance of his life never come to the surface. On the other hand, another man walks out of work, faces a similar temptation that I would like to go this direction at some level, but he conquers that particular impulse and inner compulsion because I want to go home and wrestle with my kids on the floor. I want to go home and give my wife a hug at the door. I want to go home and invest in my family. Which man is really free? There are two men who sit on the computer. One man has his lust, so has him licked. That he lives by his most basic nature, and he is constantly in the back of his mind scheming and planning ways that he can give himself a scintillating experience, although he himself won't even admit it's part of his own planning process. To have his own wife see what he does, he doesn't want to do that. He is so enslaved to his own sense of inner compulsion that he is captured by his most basic nature. While another individual may have similar kinds of inner compulsions that begin, but he doesn't want his 13-year-old son or 15-year-old daughter to behave in those kinds of ways, to be a part of those sort of things, in the consistency of his own life, he's willing to sacrifice for their good. Which man is really free? Two 17-year-olds last night. One 17-year-old with so little self-respect and so few moorings that she can and is willing to be used by every man that she believes she has some strong sense of feeling for. In the momentary temptation, she is so enslaved that she believes every lie that runs through her head. The lie that says this time the relationship will turn out to be real. The lie that says this time I'll feel better about it in the morning. The lie that says this time I can escape being a social outcast by going ahead and doing what seems to be the more progressive way to live. And she's forced to gamble with AIDS and herpes and pregnancy, and the list goes on, because she's incapable of control at the moment. While another 17-year-old girl who felt the same compulsions has the realization that every time you are sexually active prior to marriage with anyone, you deteriorate at an exact rate your ability to be happily married to whatever marriage you come into later. They are proportionately comparative. You find people who are active premaritally in sex, you will find their marriages are in direct proportion to unhappiness unless there is radical repentance and the healing of scars. So a 17-year-old girl says no to this moment because I want to freely enjoy a marriage with a clear conscience, with a husband that I can look in the face. Which one is really free? And you can run as far as you want to. If freedom is distant from truth and reality, then freedom can be defined in any terms you want, and it always looks attractive. But if truth and reality are put with freedom, suddenly freedom takes a whole other definition. And freedom becomes the one who can live within the truth and the reality with freedom, and the other one is nothing more than rebellion and foolishness. I know it's a dumb illustration, and I apologize, but it's the best I got. Some things you need to know about freedom. The first one is this one. I am free to make my choices, but I'm not free to choose my consequences. I'm free to make my choices, but I'm not free to choose my consequences. The dumb illustration is rather cartoonish. We both watch the Roadrunner or the whatever it is, Coyote. And so we're both standing on top of a 10-story building. And on the top of this 10-story building, there's a yellow line that says, do not cross. And so I look at it and say, you know, we shouldn't cross that. That's pretty close to the edge. A man wouldn't want to fall off the edge. And you say, I have freedom, brother. And you just simply step off the edge. Notice I'm making you the dummy. You step off the edge. My story, I can stick with it the way I want to. You step off the edge. You step off, and I say to you, how's it going? You're going fine so far. I run down two flights of stairs. I get down to the 8th story, and as you're going by, I stick my head out and say, how's it going? You're going, well, it's going well so far. It's going really well so far. Feel really free. I run down 3 more steps. I stick my head out the window on the 5th floor as you go by, and I say, how's it going? Going fine so far. But at some point in time, truth and reality will impact what you're calling freedom. And when truth and reality impact what you call freedom, suddenly we have to redefine everything that's just occurred. It wasn't freedom. You had the freedom to choose whether to step off or not, but once you made the choice, you had no freedom to choose the consequences. That reality is that I became a slave to the very gravity that I said gave me freedom. I was simply a slave in a different way. In John the 8th chapter, Jesus says this, "I tell you the truth, everyone who sins is a slave to sin." Here is Jesus standing in a crowd of people going, "You are so enslaved, people." And people are going, "I'm not enslaved, I have freedom." And Jesus said, "Not when I tell you the truth, not when reality finds you. You may be in that momentary place where you are blinding yourself to the reality of the truth and the consequences. You're free to make your choices, but you're not free to choose the consequences." The book of Proverbs speaks in terms of the fool and the wise. The fool is the individual who has such a sense of nearsightedness that they cannot see the consequences on the other side. And the fool will do things the wise man or woman would never do, because the wise one has the ability to see further out. And you can choose off the basis of being the fool without consequences, or you can see further out with the truth. And when you see there, you'll define it differently. We have a prison here in church. We really do. We honestly have a prison. You go back to this nursery where we have two-year-olds, and it defines everything about a prison. And we lock our children's workers in. No, that's the other way around. We have two-year-olds back there, and we have TV cameras on them, and they're monitored. There are people in the room watching them. They are such conniving children. You don't give us innocent children. You give us absolute culprits of all kinds. We watch your children like a hawk. We put people in there behind these locked doors to watch them. And we put lots of people. For every two-year-olds, we'll have almost an adult there to watch them. And anytime a two-year-old picks up anything of substance, these people will run like crazy and strip search them and take it out of their hand. Because, why? Because a two-year-old has no sense of truth, reality, or consequences. If it's heavy, I'll throw it against the next two-year-old. If it's heavy, I'll beat myself with it. Their sense of seeing beyond it are almost impossible. Now, we don't call them fools and wise because they're two-year-olds, but you move them out of the two-year-old and you make them 20-year-olds, and suddenly the words become absolutely appropriate. We do not lock our 20-year-olds in a room around here. We ought to, but we don't. Within that group of 20-year-olds, there are those who say, "I'll choose the road to freedom." But you do not get to choose the consequences that truth will bring. I hurt for some of you. On a very simple level, some of you began years ago, you were free to drink. And there was an exhilarating sense of, if I drink, I somehow feel more sophisticated. I feel less like a social outcast. I've learned to acquire the taste and I like it. That gives me something to do that makes me not look like what the Phil Jacksons of the world. So I don't want to be a part of this narrow background. But all you have to do is hang around life a little bit and recognize there's some of you, your shoulders would shake and you would bawl today. You would absolutely give up anything if that which captured you no longer held you. And you put on your Sunday morning plastic smile and you come and you worship and you take communion, but all the time you are nothing more than a captured individual. Who's really free? Who's really free? The fish that strains in vain to get away from the hook and the line because the bait looks so good, it looks so tempting, it looks so right. who's really free, the fish that was free to take the bait or the fish that understood there's a consequence and a line and there's a truth and a reality I have to live within, and the fish that was smart enough to keep his mouth shut because I understand something behind that. Who's really free? Who's really free? The coyote that strains in vain on the trap and gnaws at his own leg and gnaws at the steel trap and pulls and jerks and pulls and jerks because the meat looks so good and the meat looks so tempting and the meat seems so right. Or the coyote that somehow looked at it and understood something's not right here. It promises a freedom, but the consequence and the truth. Freedom cannot be separated from truth or consequences. Jesus stood to a bunch of trapped people and he said, come to me, I beg of you, come to me for the truth. And the truth will set you free. There's a reality as well that you cannot trust your senses. Your senses will tell you the way to freedom. You can never ever trust your senses. I need a living demonstration for this. I don't know who to use. Kenneth, can I use you? You are a brave, brave man. Come up here beside me if you don't mind. I need a brave fellow. I need a couple of strong fellows, and I apologize, but there weren't any here, so I got instead a couple of guys. Bob, won't you guys go ahead and come if you wouldn't mind? See these two fellows? You're going to trust your life to them, okay? Do they look trustworthy? No, I know. I know. Bless your heart, son. Bless your heart. Bad things are about to happen here. I have here a board. You ever been on what's called a plane ride? You're about to. Okay. Okay. All right. Gentlemen, why don't you come up here if you wouldn't mind? I want you to pick up the board. I want the two of you fairly tall. I want you to lift it as high as you can. I want to see how high. Okay, I can't reach that high. Bring it down just a little bit. Okay, that's good enough. Okay, back down. All right. Don't worry. Trust me. And I have a car for sale here in a little bit, too. I'm going to talk to you about it. Preachers and car salesmen and lawyers. Yeah, he's got a lawyer here too. All right, here's what I'm going to do. I want you to trust me on this issue, and we're going to give you a plane ride. All right? Can you see?
No.
Oh, good. We like it best when you can't see. All right? I want you to step back just a half a step in the middle of that board. All right? I don't know if the boys can get their fingers underneath that board. Can you get your fingers underneath it? You have to rock it one way or the other. Okay? Did you get it? You got it? Okay. You need to put your hand on my head. And guys, on the count of three, I want you to go ahead and take him up when I tell you. All right? One, two, three. Careful. 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 All right. Okay. Okay. Now, I know this is scary, but I want to know, can you jump off the way up there?
I think.
Okay.
Can I see where I was landed, too?
No, you can't see where you're going to land. I just want you to just go ahead and just take a great big jump off that thing.
All right.
Thank you. You can sit down. Thank you. That is a brave boy. It's also one of the reasons boys are boys. Now, the truth is, every sense he had told him that he was somewhere up here. And the only sense that he could possibly lean to is that somehow I was going to catch him or whatever. And there was no sense in that probably. But his senses told him where he thought he was. Wasn't true. And I had to blindfold him to do that. But I don't mind going, I guess, with this. Most of us, every one of us, has been trapped because our senses told us which way freedom was. And I used my senses as a compass. The reason some of you moms, not all of you, I know, but the reason some of you moms speak in such mean-spirited way to your husbands or your children, the reason that you are absolutely stealing the glory of God out of your children's eyes is because you get in circumstances and situations where your senses tell you you're not getting enough respect and nothing good is happening around here and I'm not going to make things happen the way they ought to happen. There'll be no freedom for me if I don't finally do what I just... This is the road marked freedom. And you finally jump in and you begin to put blood on the floor verbally. And your senses gave you permission. Meanwhile, Jesus Christ has said, all sin and slaves. And He has said, make me your sole authority. Listen to my voice in every circumstance. Listen to me in your marriage. Listen to me in your parenting. Listen to me with your coworkers. Listen to me. Listen to what the Spirit of God is doing. Listen to me in this. And those who listen to the truth in Jesus Christ, He sets captives free. Free from our own emotions. It's not just that Christ set me free from the consequences of sin at hell and heaven. It's that He sets me free from its daily power. And those who live with the daily power of sin entangling them, it's because my senses have lied to me and said, this is the road marked freedom. In the book of Genesis, Eve is in the Garden of Eden, and God says, now freedom is on this road. And Satan comes along and whispers in her ear, no, freedom's down this road. And Eve, it says, and it seemed good to her, I think is the text. It seemed right. And her senses took her. There's not a man here who if you struggle with anger, it is because there is a lie. A lie that plays in your head, that lie from your own senses. I, for years, thought that I had a temper because somehow genetically it was passed on. My grandfather, Garris, had a temper. My dad had a temper. And so Randy has a temper. It's just, there's a gene for temper just sort of passed down the line. And I would say about my temper, the reason I have it is, well, my grandfather had a temper. The truth is my grandfather died and was buried, and my grandfather's temper went in the casket with him.